Earth's hidden treasures. On ABC Radio Perth.
Coming up to 20 to 9, Chris Parry, good morning to you.
G'day, Ro. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We're testing technology in this new COVID environment. A little bit different, but still the same.
Little bit different, got to make it work.
Yeah, that's it. We do the best that we can, and we're super grateful to have you still joining us and continuing this conversation of that we have on Hidden Treasures, and our audience loves to be part of. Hometowns is what we're talking about this week. If you want to join in and tell us about your hometown, 1300 222 720 0437 922 720. Chris, the inspiration for this one, did it come from running out of other things to talk about, or a visit to your hometown?
Look, the inspiration, my daughter Matilda turned 18 a few weeks ago. Yep. She and a friend blew the party bar tab, the Perth pub, in 15 minutes by ordering cocktails. And I thought back to when I turned 18 and my dad, the now past but forever beautiful Dr. John Parry, took me to the Narrogin Club to have a midi of super. No cocktails, no guava-flavoured vodka concoctions, super. And I thought, I've got to get Matilda back to the bar. So I called the Narrogin Club, which is a private establishment, and spoke to Wayne, the president, and he hastily convened a committee meeting where it was unanimously voted to allow Matilda and I to come along last Saturday night. So we went back to Narrogin, my hometown, and we sat at the bar where I'd sat with my dad. Wayne pulled out a picture of my dad and put him on the bar as well.
Oh, how lovely.
And we sat there and we had a midi of beer. Matilda hated it.
I was going to say, what did Matilda think of her midi of beer? No, thumbs down for Matilda.
Yeah, look, and this is where we diverge, my father and I. He made me struggle through my first beer, and I let her off the hook. I let her buy one of those vodka beers.
Oh, Chris, Ev's just saying the audio is just probably not the greatest it could be for our listeners, and we want them to enjoy the experience and the conversation. So just bear with us. Ev's going to give you a call and we'll get you up on the telephone because it'll probably be clearer than what we're getting at the moment on the modern technology that we're attempting to use. Thank you for your perseverance. We'll get better at this as time goes on, but hometowns is what we're talking about. We're all from somewhere, some of us from towns and suburbs, some of us might be from remote pastoral properties, we might be from communities, wherever you're from. Do you still live there? Do you still go back there? How often do you go there and why do you go there? Are you like Chris Parry and took your daughter back there? You almost, you did. You totally combined a rite of passage with a hometown visit, Chriso.
I did. Look, and we ran out of time to run my normal section about asking you guys what you did last weekend. But I think we're right into it now with the hometowns. And just while we were switching over to me on the phone, I was looking at the list. I like getting my notes in early because Ebony likes to use a red pen like a toddler does with crayons. And I found a couple more to add to the list. So it was a nice little opportunity to have a quick break between the link we had and the phone we're now on.
Very good. You were telling us about Narrogin obviously taking Matilda out there and having her first midi of beer after she sent you broke drinking cocktails in the city. What do you love about Narrogin?
Look, a lot of us find ourselves away from where we've come from. So to travel back to where we've come from is one of the greatest reasons to travel. I love Narrogin because people there still know me. I still have that sense of place, which is why, you'll ask me at the end of this, why hometowns are hidden treasure, and let's get into it right now. So they remind us of the importance of that, having a sense of place, and as well as a sense of place, the importance of having a sense of community. It's a place to go and to be able to mark milestones and tell old stories. And that's what taking Matilda back was all about, showing her, the places where I did things. And that's also a really passionate part about having a hometown. It's not stuck in time for the town, but it's a lot of it is stuck in time for me because I see the houses where my friends used to live. And I wish I could just drop the bike on their front lawn and run up and knock on the front door and go in and nothing's changed.
Yeah, it's that sense of nostalgia and wanting to transport us back into a simpler times, I suppose, and a happier times when we were children in many cases and didn't have to make big decisions or have the stresses of life.
And I think when you say the simpler times, the amazing thing is driving past a vacant block and seeing those bike jumps that kids make by mounding up the dirt and putting treacherous pits underneath. I don't see that around Perth. Maybe they are there, but maybe I just don't see them anymore. But going back to my hometown and seeing vacant blocks and seeing kids being industrious and getting out and doing stuff just took me back to my childhood and put a smile on the face.
There's been plenty of conversation on Facebook, and whilst we do predominantly broadcast to our metro audience during this time, regional towns have been such a feature, and that, you know, speaks to your heart and mine as well. And obviously you've kicked us off with Narrogin, but, you know, Mount Nameless in Tom Price, Carlia contributed, you know, Carrageenie's not very far away, which is obviously an absolute wonder. The Big Ram, which we featured in our photo in Wage, and what an entry statement. Dampier has obviously, you know, had this story of Red Dog that's, you know, grown legs and become a, you know, blockbuster movie, and that story and legend has grown over time. And of course there's a statue of Red Dog. It can be something as big and significant as the ram, or it might be a painting or metal structures, or like you say, it can just be you driving in there because of the memories of the houses that you remember throwing your bike down on the front of.
And what you've done for me is you've reminded me as well of when you've got a hometown, you've got rivalries.
Yes.
And I think I was a bit upset last night to see on the ABC Facebook post that picture of the ram, because that's in Wagen. And if there's nothing I despise more, it's everything to do with Wagen. All those hockey matches and cricket matches and school kids that came up on the bus to Narrogin Senior High School, and you go and post a picture of the Wagen ram.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Regional, Great Southern, whatever they are, rivalries. They're pretty strong. Sports, obviously, a key part of that, and sporting grounds. We've talked about metro sporting grounds, but certainly in our regions, like to, you know, the footy oval likes to be pride of place, and who has the greenest grass and all the rest of it. There's also, I think it's the Kalamunda, is it the Shire City? Whatever it is of Kalamunda, have got those beautiful eucalyptus, what are they, honky nuts, that on the roundabouts that have the water flowing through them as a water feature on the centre of some of the roundabouts. That's featured on the Facebook page as well. There's certainly been plenty of contributions from people and the places that they go. I think I've said a few times, Kawarram up and the cows. That's another that people like to drive past. Gnomesville. My dad actually was down that way in the Ferguson Valley this week, and he was telling me that now there's not only Gnomesville, they've started up, talking about rivalries, is like Frogsville. And so people have started dropping off all their little frog statues to see if they can, pick up the rivalry with Gnomesville.
I think with and Gnomesville has really grown. I think the history of it started out as a bit of a protest around that intersection, putting a few gnomes on the roundabout, but it's extended back down and into the bush, and there's all sorts of adventures you can have now. I know with my kids, there's a creek, and we've gone across logs that have fallen across the creek and found gnomes on the other side, and it's and that's a great thing about hometowns as well. It's having those places to hang out, those local intricate and iconic places. So even a local lookout as well. You know, what is your hometown known for? Where do young people hang out? In my day, it was the Narrogin Drive-In or Lions Lookout.
Yeah.
But every hometown has a place where people like to go to get away from it, either for a walk or overlook the town, perhaps, from, as you said before, up at, I think it was Tom Price.
Suggestions starting to flow through on the text, Chris, 0437922720. Adrian writes, I grew up in a little country town in Victoria called Orbost. I hope I'm saying that right. It's where the Snowy River meets the sea. Half of the family still live there, so do I try to visit at least once a year. Joss in Como, the Stirling Range, the hidden treasure of Borden. my hometown. Borden is the closest town to the mountains. I think we had a chat about Borden with Sabrina a couple of weeks back. I think it might have been when she might have been adventuring that way. I grew up on a farm near Ongerup, went back for a primary school reunion, have been back several times. Met up with someone I knew back then, took my young son back once and showed him the farm, which has since sold. That's also a fun part of it, as someone who's moved around a little bit, going back and checking out the old houses that you used to live in.
Yeah, I think that's a key part of it, and the route you used to take to get to your friend's place, you know, on a bike or to walk, all those places around town that mean something for you, and hometowns have those destinations as a kid as well. Like, how did you get to the local deli or the local toy shop as well? And the wonderful thing with going to the Narrogin Club and Wayne the president was, I realised that he used to run the local toy shop, and hearing stories like he had found things in that toy shop from the original owner that I remember. He used to make bikes and things like that. So I forgot about Matilda being there and having to have a conversation with her as her rite of passage, and just enjoyed talking to Wayne and being nostalgic about that old toy shop and what it meant to me as a kid and what Steve's Deli meant. Steve hasn't owned that deli in a quarter of a century, but everyone still calls it Steve's Deli.
Yeah, I'm thinking about my hometowns now. We moved around a little bit. I think I've said that before. So never in one. It's hard for me to say one hometown, but Midwest town of Three Springs, we spent 6 years there, has the world's second largest talc mine. So the number plates splash talc and cocky country on them. And we'd walk home from school and there was always on the side of the road the talc rocks that had fallen off the back of trucks. And, you know, we used to make our own powder and paint and all sorts of things with them and make a real mess out the back of the house. And, you know, something that we didn't even realise, you know, in our heads, make the connection that, you know, that talcum powder that we like to squirt on our sticky bits when we have to, well, that's, you know, comes from my hometown.
Well, and the other thing about that is, of course, is every hometown has an industry that supports it, doesn't it?
I mean,
we're hearing the classic song Flame Trees about the guy who's an auto worker, you know, from the car manufacturing factory. But my hometown, it's all about wheat and sheep. Everyone's hometown has an industry that supports it, and the conversation revolves around that. I can remember going to the Narrogin Club with my dad, and his mates would come and go, and they'd share the day's events from what had happened down the main street, but mainly what was happening in the paddocks. You know, who had just bought another 1,000 head of sheep, or who'd got their crop in early, that sort of thing. They're conversations that are important because that they represent the life of that town.
More text coming through from you, 0437 922 720. Hi, Rowena. This is taking me back to my hometown of training. I remember the vacant blocks filled with everlastings and where we played marbles over the road from the bakery, riding miles out of town, dodging the magpies or avoiding the snakes on the road. They're great memories, Julie in Leeming. They most certainly are. We've got a caller on the line. We'll see if we can go to Christina. Good morning, Christina.
Hello, you guys. I thought I might miss out.
No, we've got time for you. Tell us about your hometown.
I've got two to contribute. The first one is Mandurah, the first one is Kalgoorlie, where I was born and grew up, and the second one is Mandurah, because a lot of Kalgoorlie people listening will know that when you move from Kalgoorlie, you moved either to Mandurah, which is where a lot of people had holiday homes, or to Esperance. So we moved to Mandurah because my parents are teachers. But Kalgoorlie was gorgeous. And I go back a lot to Cal. And there are so many places for people to see. And you were talking about Steve's Deli, Chris Parry. And there's a Rose's Deli there in Kalgoorlie, which people have got to go in. If you're going into Kalgoorlie and you want to have some good tucker for the day, everyone goes there first thing in the morning. All the tradies, all the miners, everyone rocks in there and gets their crib for the day. It's absolutely brilliant. But I went back to Kalgoorlie recently and did a tour of the Super Pit. And as part of the tour, they took the bus through town and they pointed out some things that I'd, you know, born there and grew up there and I didn't know. They said, you see all these houses with all these chimney stacks? The more chimney stacks a house had, it was a sign of wealth. And in Kalgoorlie, to burn, you know, burn wood back then, they really needed wood to purify water, etc. So if you had lots of these chimney stacks, that meant that your family was very wealthy or was pretending to be very wealthy by putting going up chimney stacks.
A pretend one. Oh, beautiful. Thank you for giving us a call this morning, Christina.
Great to listen to you guys. Thank you.
No worries. It's good to have you joining in the conversation. The texts keep rolling through now, Chris. You really hit a winner here. Barbara writes, grew up in Rocky Gully down south, left in the 60s. A small group of descendants from the soldier settlement scheme are planning a memorial to recognise the history. Hometowns just never leave you, which is absolutely true. Another texter from Ongerup, I was sent to Albany High School, been back for two reunions, went teaching in Esperance, have been back several times, including for a school reunion. And Shane in Fremantle, g'day Ro, I remember pushing our bikes up Mount Nameless and then riding down with absolutely no fear. They're all really good memories, and bikes feature pretty heavily, don't they, Chris? Oh, what have I done? I've lost Chris Parry. Just a second. Sorry, Chris. You there?
Hello. Yeah.
I don't know what I'd done there. Bikes. They continue to be a feature.
And you had to have a chrome Ollie BMX bike. But you know the other thing, listening to Christina, and I know that voice very well, I know it well enough to call her Chrissy, she's reminded me of another really important thing, which she has a connection to in Kalgoorlie, which is Everett's Butchers, is your butcher shop in your hometown.
Yeah.
And as a kid, getting that free piece of polony, no matter what your mum bought, sausages or whatever it was, a thin piece of porterhouse, but you'd always get tossed a piece of polony. And if you were clever, you could bite a face into it.
Yeah. Yes, I remember doing those things. Rossiter's Butcher in Three Springs, that was the one for me where we would get that. And yes, go ahead and bite a face into the polony. I know exactly what you're talking about. A texter actually just saying, born in Three Springs but left when I was five. In my 40s, the whole family drove in three cars to go back for me to learn where my family came from, which is also a nice rite of passage or something to do. Michael has given us a call. Good morning to you, Michael.
G'day, guys. Yeah, look, I was born in Narrowsham but grew up in Bunbury in the 70s and right through until about 15 years ago when I come up to the city. But Geograph Bay was my playground as a kid in Kambana Bay. We were sailors. We sailed our VJ yachts around the bay as young blokes, and then as we grew older, we bought bigger yachts and sailed them across Geograph Bay. And, you know, Cape Naturalist is a very, very special place for me, and it was a wonderful way to grow up. We had a very, very privileged childhood. It was just magic growing up on Geograph Bay.
Oh, sounds lovely. Have you shared that with your family over the years and gone down those sort of same paths that you walked as children?
Yeah, I've shared with my girlfriend only, you know, earlier in the year, and got very emotional at Cape Naturalist Lighthouse. She said, what the hell's wrong with you? George, please.
Oh, Michael, unfortunately, with the line just breaking up there towards the end, but certainly picking up the sentiment on that. We're rapidly heading towards the 9 o'clock news, but Lorraine has called in from Narrogin. You've started something, or wants to talk about Narrogin. You've started something here, Chris Parry. How are you, Lorraine?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, I was born in Narrogin back in the 50s, and we used to go to the butcher's shop, and he always used to give us a little red sausage.
Was it polony in those days?
On the way home, we called into our grandfather's property and I put my little sausage on top of a fence post and a bloody magpie came and got it.
And you weren't happy with that magpie?
No, not happy. I cried and cried.
Did you get to go back to the butcher and get another sausage?
I'm doing a lot of family history at the moment. I'll tell you what, I'm putting a lot of photos in there of Narrogin, lots and lots of photos.
Oh, yeah. Lorraine, thank you. Thanks for giving us a call this morning.
It's a great show. Yeah, bye.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, Narrogin's really featuring hard, Chris.
Yeah, and I think I was just thinking about my mate Dennis reminded me of a song by The Waifs called Since I've Been Around. And the other thing which hometowns have are local hospitals. And there's a line in that song which talks about driving past the hospital where I took my first breath. And it's a wonderful thing to sort of think about. And I know when I go back to Narrogin and as I come down over the hill into the town, there's the medical centre, which is named after my dad. Mm. And the next thing is the hospital where I drew my first breath. And that's what makes it a special hometown for me.
Yeah, most definitely. All of which tug at the heartstrings, which is what many of our listeners have shared with us this morning. Lynn writes, just love to go back to historical York. Swinging Bridge, Mount Brown, the Avon River. So great to stay at the Settlers Inn and can really feel the past. And that's what it is. It's the feeling that it stirs up inside us going back to these hometowns. And I suppose that's probably a fair summary, because we've only got 30 seconds to do it, of why our hometowns are hidden treasures, Chris.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? It's that providing that connection to the past, that sense of place, that sense of community. It's having a place to go at any time and know that you feel welcome, whether it's the memories of the past or creating new ones, you know, for your kids or your friends. That's why hometowns are the greatest treasure of all.
They are indeed. Couldn't have said it better. Chris Parry, thank you. Sabrina will be with us in 5 minutes. Stick around for Roots and Shoots.